So I'm delighted anyway to be joined here with Jim Feely from Spirit Radio. And Jim presents Word of the Day on Spirit Radio. You present the Irish show, Irish language show on Sunday mornings.
That's right.
But Jim, you have a very
colourful,
if you like, yeah, colourful background in the sense that you have quite a story to tell.
Well, I mean, some people say it's a story, other people tell it's a lie. It depends on how you look at it. I don't see it as a story to necessarily to tell, but it's different. How to say, I would be called, without incurring the wrath of everybody else, Black Irish. I grew up in Connemara. I'm ethnically different to most people, seeing that my skin is what would have been classed as black way back then, but that's now called sallow. And I have wiry curly hair. And I was born in London, 1961, to a woman by the name of Margaret Feely. Margaret Feely was married to William James Joseph Feely, who was from Leitrim. But that marriage broke up, and Margaret Feely ended up in London, where she met my father, whom I don't know and never have met, don't know his name. But he wasn't English and he wasn't Irish, so we think possibly from North Africa somewhere. And so I was born in 61, St. Thomas's Hospital in Lambeth. And Margaret then came back home with me to her family in Port Law, because that's where she was from, Port Law, in Waterford, just on the border of Waterford, Tipperary. And we don't really know the circumstances. But it looks like that she might not have been accepted at home. If you consider Ireland, 1960s, woman who was married has now had a black baby outside of marriage. So she ends up in a hostel for women in Dublin called Regina Chaley. So 6 months, I think, later or thereabouts, I can't remember. Well, obviously I wouldn't remember at that age. But I was taken away from her by the state, and I was made a ward of court. She was sent packing, and I was sent across the country to an orphanage in Clifton called St. Joseph's School. And it was called a residential home as opposed to an orphanage. Prior to that, it was an industrial school for girls. So, I lived there for 15 years under the auspices of the Sisters of Mercy. Times were rough, as they were everywhere else in the country, but within the institutions they were a little bit rougher than most. At times you were extremely hungry, went to bed with very little food, and would have incurred things like beatings and stuff like that, which obviously, you know, the situation in the country, a lot of that has been talked about over the last 10-15 years. So yeah, it would have been like that. So it was fairly Dickensian. So they would have been cold, hungry, lonely, and all of those things thrown in together. One of the nuns there, a nun called Sister Aloysius, who has since died, eventually when she came to take over the orphanage part of it, she was a very forward-thinking nun. And eventually she got us all, began to change the regime in the place, and we began to get better food, better clothing. She even got me sent away to boarding school, and I was sent to St. Mary's, the Marist in Dundalk for 2 years back in 1972 or thereabouts. And so she definitely made a big changes. She turned dormitories into cubicles. The girls began to get things like bras and all the necessary things that they didn't have prior to that. And she made huge changes. Now, not everybody liked her, but she did what she could, and so I appreciate, and I do appreciate it. And she actually came to my wedding. So anyway, with all that kind of in the background, it was tough. Nuns were in a predicament, but they were in a predicament that the state imposed on them, that they were to look after us. Very little money, very little training on their part. And so between the jigs and the reels, it was just not a great combination of a situation for children to grow up and for nuns to have to deal with. So it just didn't work. Anyway, eventually I went to St. Giles College in Tuam, a good GA school, and I was there for about 4 years. I had to leave in the sense that I had a run-in with one of the teachers. The teacher was in the wrong, might I say. They bashed me in the nose, and but the principal had said to me that it might be better if I found another school. So I wasn't expelled, but I was asked not to return.
And Jim, you're not exactly, you know, a little flower here. You know, you're a big man. You're physically quite well-built man. So I'm sure as a youth, you were also more well-built. So I'd say they had to think about that.
Well, not really. You see, when you grew up in an institution, especially in an orphanage like that, you grew up with a kind of a servile spirit. Everything is yes sister, no sister, yes father, no father. And so you grew up with that kind of attitude in life. And so I would have been pretty much very compliant and fearful of authority and the regime, as well as hating it. And so I just complied. But there was that part inside me that was beginning to rev up, that it was non-compliant. And I did get badly beaten up by one of the priests in the school for being caught smoking. Names will not be mentioned. I have since forgiven this priest. He probably doesn't know I've forgiven him, but I do. Very much compliant. But in the end, when it came to the crunch, and one of the that said priest one night came and hit me, and for the first time in my life, I turned around with closed fists, and he was a lucky man that I didn't actually go for him, because I would have done some damage, because I was big. But anyway, I took my anger out years later. I went, I worked in Dublin for, I went to another school in Dublin for a while, Moyle Park College in Clondalkin, and I lasted, I think, the best part of 6 months. And then I was kicked out. I was expelled for throwing a chair through a window just above the president of the college's office, and I see the glass and everything just flying down and landing on the front lawn. So I was expelled, and I was living in Clondalkin with foster parents at the time. And the brother Vivian was the principal of the school, and he actually got me a job as a postroom clerk in Stokes Kennedy and Crowley at Harcourt Street. I was asked to leave my foster parents by the Department of Education, because I now had reached the age where they said I should have been living on my own and out from under their jurisdiction. So I ended up in a one-room bedsit up in Phillipsburg Avenue on the north side of the city, and it was absolutely awful. 17 years of age, living in a one-room apartment, trying to actually make your own way, getting £34 a week, paying £15 on this one room, and having to feed yourself on the balance. And it was the most depressing place, the most depressing thing. And I did feel quite suicidal at 17. But anyway, went to a Christmas party, well, a New Year's Day party, not a New Year's Day, St. Stephen's Day party, Christmas of 79. And in Shane McGowan, the news presenter, the guy who used to news present for RT2, Radio 2, and he was a good mate back then in school. And about five or six of the mates said they were going to go and join the Navy. And I said, yeah. So we went to the Carl Brewer, and just after Christmas, and I saw the men in green and the posters and said, no, I'm joining the Army. So the 28th of January 1980, I signed up in the Irish Army.